This week is Parshas Noach. I thought we'd talk a little bit about the bracha that one recites on seeing a rainbow. After the Mabul, we know the Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris with Noach and his family and the whole world that he's not going to bring another Mabul. He won't destroy the world again with a Mabul. And he gives an oath, he gives a sign to Noach and his family for this bris. I put my rainbow in the clouds. That's the Oz Bris between me and you, that I'm not going to bring another mom. The Gemara Brachas on Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph says that someone who sees a keshes, someone who sees a rainbow, has to make a bracha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not destroying the world again, not making another mom. What's the Nusach HaBracha? So here we find a Machogas HaMaroi. Some Amoraim say that the Nusach HaBrach is Zocher HaBris. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Zocher HaBris. Zocher HaBris, that he remembers the bris, remembers the treaty that he made. And the other Amora says that the Nusach HaBrach is Ne'mon Bivriso V'Kayam B'Mamoro. Kadosh Baruch Hu is trustworthy with his bris, V'Kayam B'Mamoro. And he keeps his word. He keeps his word that he's not going to make another mamor. Says the Gemara, since there's a Machogas Amoraim, what the Nusach HaBrach should be, we say both. We say both. Hilkach nimrinu l'karvay. We say both. We say zocher habris v'neman bevriso v'kayam b'mamor. That's the nusach habracha that you say when you see a rainbow. And this is the girsa of the Torah and the Rambam. Right? It's our girsa in the Gemara. It's the girsa of the Torah and the Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, you see a little bit of a different girsa. The Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, in the end of the second chelik of the Mishnah Berurah. And Simon Reish Chav Tes, Sif Aleph. Yeah, there the Shulchan Aruch is talking about different brachas, proteus that you say, Shechianu and other things, so, you know, on thunder and lightning, etc. So the Shulchan Aruch also mentions this bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch's nusach is Zocher Habris, Nemon Bevriso, V'Kayam B'Mamor. He leaves out the Vav in the word V'Nemon. Just says Nemon Bevriso. Nemon Bevriso. And that's the girsa of the Gra as well. Now, Be'emes is not such a pella because the two dayas in the Gemara, the second daya was that the Nusach HaBracha is Neman Bivriso V'Kayam B'Mamoro. So if you put the two together, you have Zocher HaBris, Neman Bivriso. It doesn't say V'Neman Bivriso. So, Stama, that's where this Nusach came from, that you don't have an extra Vav. Apparently, the Rambam and the Torah, they're assuming that if you're Machaber, the two Shitas together, and you're putting the two Shitas together, so you have to get a Vav. You add a Vav to the Nusach HaBracha. And the fact that the Mishnah Berurah there in Sivkot and Gimel quotes the Nusach of the Torah and the Rambam, it seems like the Mishnah Berurah is passing like them, that really the way you should say the bracha is Zocher HaBris V'Neman Bivriso V'Kayam B'Mamor. What does the bracha mean? What's the perish HaBracha? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Avodah that the bracha means as follows: HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zocher HaBris, that he remembers the treaty, the covenant, the bris that he made with Noah, that even if there are Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the bris, and he doesn't destroy the world. That's what Zocher HaBris means. Neman Bevriso L'chor is the same idea. And he's trustworthy with his bris. That's what Zocher HaBris means. V'kayim B'mamoro, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'kayim B'mamoro means that even without a bris, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not made the bris was an extra, but even without the bris, he gave his word. He said, V'lo yeh od mabel l'shaches ha'oretz, there's going to be no more mabel to destroy the land. He didn't give a bris. Then he makes the bris. So v'kayim b'mamoro means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his word. So he wouldn't make a mabul anyway, even without the bris. So it's both points, that he's zocher HaBris. First of all, he made a bris. But even without the bris, he's kayim b'mamoro. He keeps his word. And we're very happy for that. We're very appreciative of that. And that's why we make the bracha. I saw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas there in Simon Reish Chav Tes, Ha'ara 7, he quotes from the Yaros Devash with Yonason Eibshitz, who asks, what kind of an Oz Bris is the rainbow? It's a natural occurrence. You go to the scientists, they'll tell you that the rainbow occurs when there's light going through the clouds and there's a certain amount of water, a certain moisture, so it produces a rainbow, produces the colors of the spectrum. So how is that an Oz Bris? It's just a natural phenomenon. Why should that be called an Oz Bris? So he answers, he suggests that the Yaros Devash suggests that there are two types of rainbows. There's the regular rainbow that has the colors of the spectrum, normal, you know, Roy G. Biv, the normal colors of the spectrum. Says that's a natural rainbow. But there's another type of rainbow that has mishunadika colors, really strange, stranger colors. That's the rainbow that we're talking about when we refer to the rainbow of the bris. That's what he wants to suggest. That's not a natural rainbow, so that's why it can be an os bris. It's a little difficult because the Ramban in Parshas Noach seems to explain that zechiras habris relates even to a natural keshes, the natural rainbow that we see. So if it relates to the natural rainbow, how can it be an os bris? The Sefer Shaloh HaKadosh explains that why does it matter that it's a natural occurrence? Who made that natural occurrence? Who invented nature? Who created nature? And who runs nature? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the rainbow to be seen, it's not common. You don't always see a rainbow every time it rains. Right? So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the rainbow to be seen through Teva, that's a Hashgachas Hashem. That's the bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a phenomenon. Yeah, the scientists can explain it, but the fact that they can explain it doesn't mean that it's not a Hashgacha, that it's not divinely ordained, it's not divinely orchestrated. So because it's divinely orchestrated, so that can serve as a nos bris. That's the sign HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that he's not going to destroy the world. What's more, the Shalach quotes from the Ramah. Quotes from the Ramah that if we were Zocha, then it would rain only at night. It wouldn't rain by day when it's difficult for people. And if it rained at night, then you wouldn't see the rainbow because there's no light then. So if it rained at night, which is really the better time for it to rain, right? The Chazal say that if it rains, Ba'arve Shabbosa, some people are home, it's the best type of rain. It waters the fields and no one has to walk in the mud. That's the best time for it to rain. So if it rained at night, then you wouldn't see a rainbow bichlal. You wouldn't see a rainbow bichlal. So the fact that we see it because it's raining by day and the clouds are still there, there still is the moisture in the air, that's the Oz Bris. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it rain by day so that we'll see the Keshes and we'll realize that really the world should be destroyed. If not for the special Bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's benevolence, really the world should be destroyed. And this is the basic pshat in the Bracha and in the Bris of the Keshes. What does the rainbow have to look like in order to make the bracha? So the Bir Halacha, in the beginning of Simen Reish Chof Tes, he has a suffix whether the only time you make a bracha is if the rainbow looks like an arc, like a bow, like a semicircular bow. Right? Is that the only time that you make the bracha? Maybe even if it's part of the arc, right? You see a little bit of a rainbow. It's not like a full semicircle, not a full arc. Do you make a bracha even then? So he leaves a bit Tzarachin as a suffix about it. Rav Sternbuch in his Tshuvas, he wants to suggest that since Safik Brachas Lahakel, Lechori, you should only make the Bracha if you see that arc. See, it's like some kind of a semicircular spectrum of a rainbow. Because it's a Safik, maybe you should only make a Bracha in such a case. Now, certainly you should only make a Bracha on a rainbow that you see in the clouds. Right? Sometimes when it rains, you know, when you have like an oil slick or something, you'll see like a multicolored thing in the air. You're not making a bracha. It's not called a rainbow. It's a spectrum of color in the oil slick or in the water. Sometimes you'll see a rainbow. That's not a rainbow. It's the colors of the spectrum, but that's not a rainbow. Everyone would say that you don't make a bracha in such a case. But even if you see a little bit of a rainbow in the sky, if it's not in a semicircular arc, so l'chora Savi Brachas Laka would tell us that we should make such a bracha. We should make the bracha in such a context. How often can we make a bracha on the rainbow? So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Machzik Bracha, from the Birka Yosef, that you only make a bracha on the rainbow one time. One time on each rainbow. Right? Just like when it comes to thunder and lightning. You make a bracha one time. You're in the middle of a storm, and it's lightning and thundering multiple times. Don't make the bracha every time that you hear that you see lightning and you hear thunder. You make it one time per storm. So it's the same thing here. You make the bracha one time on that rainbow. If the clouds spread out, they cleared out, and the rainbow disappeared, and then the clouds come back together, and there's moisture, and the rainbow reappears, that's a new rainbow. If it's a new rainbow, you can make another bracha. But on the same rainbow, you only make one bracha. The poskim point out that if the rainbow was there, if you went to sleep, Ashenas Laila, and you woke up in the morning, the rainbow was still there, then you can make the bracha again, because it's a new day. So as long as it's a new day, we treat that like it's a new rainbow, and you can still make the bracha. But if it's not a new day, and the clouds are still there, and it's not a new rainbow, then you can only make the bracha once. This is different, the Shaar HaTshuva says, this is different than some of the other brachas that I'll mention. Brachas that we recite on re'ios, different types of re'ios, seeing different things. At the end of the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Chav Dalet Sif Yud Gimel, he points out that on when a person who sees Malchai Yisrael, see a Jewish king, or you see Chachma Yisrael, Gedolei Ador, or you see Kivrei Yisrael, there are certain brachas that one recites. But those brachas you only recite once a month. Don't recite them more than once a month. So this is different. Right? You can make a bracha on a keshes once a day, but you can make a bracha on a keshes if it's a new keshes, even if it's the same day. But you can't make another bracha on the same keshes. But day by day, you certainly can make a bracha on the keshes. It's not like the brachas of Re'iyah that you can only make them once a month. So that's what's special about the keshes. The Shulchan Aruch has an interesting halacha. There in Simen Reish Chav Tes, all of these halachas appear in Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says that one should not be mistakel b'keshes b'yosei. You shouldn't look too much at the rainbow. Just give a quick glance at the rainbow, make a bracha, and that's it. But you shouldn't look too carefully. The source of this halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Gemara in Chagiga. Chagiga on Daf Tes Zayin. Gemara says, Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Breb Nachmeni Miturgamani de Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda Breb Nachmeni was the Miturgaman for Reish Lakish. So he was Dorish, called a Mistakel Begimel Dvarim Ein of Keos. Someone who looks at three things, his eyes are dimmed. Somehow his vision is going to be affected. Bekeshes Benossi Ubekoanim. If you look at the rainbow too much, if you look at a Nossi, Benossi Sheba Sanhedrin too much, or if you look at the Kohanim. Three different situations. So, Kohanim, we're familiar with this. People know this halacha, right? The Nasi is less familiar. It's a little complicated exactly what Nasi we're talking about and what exactly is the problem, but at least the halacha of the Kohanim we are familiar with. That the Gemara explains that when the Kohanim are umdim al aduchan, when they nosei kapayim, and they make a bracha, when they mevarchem es Yisrael b'shem ha-mefarash, then you're not allowed to look at the Kohanim. Not allowed to look at the Kohanim. Tosfos there in Chagiga asks that from the Gemara in Megillah, you get the impression that not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but even Begvulin, the Gemara there was talking about a case of one of the Amorayim, someone who lived around one of the Amorayim, and the Gemara says that if a Kohen has mumim in his yodayim, he has some kind of a mum in his hands, like the example they give is someone is a printer and his hands are blue because he's working with the ink so much, so he's not supposed to duchen. Why not? So Rashi explains, because people are going to look at his hands. And there's a problem with looking at the hands. Yeah, but the Gemara Chagiga is talking about the Beis HaMikdash, not talking Begvulin, and yet the Gemara there, because it discusses a particular Amora and people who are living in his neighborhood, sounds like it's even talking about outside the Beis HaMikdash. I thought the whole problem of looking at the hands of the Kohanim is only in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tosfos answers no, that even Begvulin there's also a problem. That we're afraid if the people look at the hands of the Kohanim when they're Mevarech, they'll be Mesiach Das from the Bracha. They're not going to be concentrating on the Bracha properly. So therefore, it's inappropriate to look at the hands of the Kohanim. And he says that's what the Yerushalmi, that's how the Yerushalmi explains. And this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Ilchas Nesias Kapayim, in Simen Kuf Chav Ches Sif Chav Gimel, says you're not supposed to look. Lo Yistakel Ha'am B'Kohanim V'lo B'Yidayim. Shouldn't look at the Kohanim, don't look at the hands of the Kohanim. The Ramah quotes from the Beis Yosef that the Kohanim also shouldn't look at their own hands. He says, and that's why the minhag of the Kohanim is to put the talis over their heads and to separate between their faces and the hands so that they won't look at their hands. He says, but some are knowing that they put the talis over their hands too. They close their eyes not to look at their hands, but they put the talis over their hands so that the people won't look at their hands. If they'll separate between their faces and their hands, there's still a concern that the people don't look at their hands. They put the talis over their hands as well. And what's this all based on? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that we don't want the people to look at the hands of the Kohanim because they'll be Mesiach Das from the Bracha. And he adds, Kol Shkein, people should not be looking around. Now, you think, if I'm listening to the Bracha, so I can turn around, I can look to the side, look at my brother or whatever. No, you're supposed to be concentrating on the bracha. That's the whole point. He's not supposed to look at the hands of the Kohen to be concentrating on the bracha. So you shouldn't look elsewhere either. Don't look at the Kohen, don't look elsewhere. Look down. That the minig in many places is that the Yisraelim and the Kohol, they cover their heads with the talis also to be able to concentrate on the bracha. So they know, or if they're not going to cover their heads with the talis, if they're bochim, whatever, they look down. Look down in your sitter to concentrate on the bracha so that you're not going to be mesiyach das in the bracha. But as the Mishnah Berura, me'ikar adin, only his stakless meruba is awesome. Why? Because hesach adas is only going to come if you're mestakel, you know, straw. If you happen to see the hands of the kohanim, it's really not a big deal, says the Mishnah Berura, because you're not going to be mesiyach das just from glancing for a moment at the hands of the kohanim. His stakless meruba is the problem. Re'iyah ktsas is mutter. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Mishnah Berura, even Re'iyah Ktzas was a problem. Because then they were mevarech the people with the Shem HaMeforash, and the Shekhinah was shorah on the hands of the Kohanim. So then even Histaklus, even Re'iyah Ma'at would be a problem. Nowadays, we're only afraid that you'll be Mesiyah Das on the Bracha, so Re'iyah Ma'at is not as big a problem. He says, the minig is, Zeichel HaMikdash, we try not to look at the hands of the Kohanim, B'chlaf. But sometimes people feel like, I give out, I look at the hands of the Kohanim, the minig is not to, but don't be so nervous about it. Re'iyah Ktzas is really not a problem bizman hazeh. Okay, that's in terms of looking at the hands of the kohen. What also is not supposed to look at the keshes. Okay, we'll leave out the looking at the nasi for now. What also is not supposed to be mistaka the keshes. Why not? What's the problem looking at a rainbow? It's a nice thing, multicolored things. You don't see it so frequently. So the Zohar in Parshas B'Shalach says that one who's mistaka the keshes is kemistaka b'shchina. Like looking at the Shekhinah. Similar to the hands of the Kohen. Right? That the Shekhinah is shorah on the hands of the Kohen. What does that mean? Stakel v'keshes is like mistakel v'shekhinah. So l'chora, that's really what's mashra from the Gemara in Chagiga. Because the Gemara explains v'keshes, why is it also the mistakel v'keshes? D'chsiv kemare ha'keshes ha'sheyiyah be'onan b'yom ha'geshem humare d'mus kvod Hashem. Posuk in Sefer Yecheskel in the Ma'aseh Merkavah. It says Yecheskel was looking, he had that mara. Right, that's Haftorah, the first day of Shavuos, that we all know about Peh, because we're all concentrating so much, if you don't fall asleep in the middle of the Haftorah, it's very hard just to understand the words there. It's hard to stay awake also. But if you stay awake, you'll see this pasuk. He says, Kemara HaKeshes, the vision he saw was Kemara HaKeshes, like the rainbow, Asher Yiyah Be'onan B'yom HaGeshem, that will appear in the cloud on a rainy day. Umarid Musk for Hashem. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what Yecheskel says. You have to understand what that means. But you see that there's some Dmus of the Shekhinah in the Keshes. What does that mean? Alpinister? Alpinister, I can't help you. I don't know. Alpinigla, what does it mean? So someone who suggests that the Keshes is an os bris between Hashem and the world. And it's not so common. It doesn't happen every day. Just because it's raining, you don't see a Keshes. So when you see a Keshes, it's like a sign of the Shekhinah. There's something in the Keshes that's a sign of the Shekhinah. So looking too much at the Keshes is almost like glancing too much at the Shekhinah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that the Keshes is one of the things that was created by Hashmoshes. It's something unique. It's something special to the Shekhinah. So somehow looking too much at the Keshes is like looking too much at the Shekhinah. Something like that. We have to look into it a little bit. I mean, not look at the Keshes, but we have to examine this a little bit more to try to understand Alpinista, what it really means. Frekti Avudran, if you can't look at the Keshes, how can you make the Bracha? We just said, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Bracha says you have to make a Bracha in the Keshes, but you can't look at it. You can't get started. What's going on? So he quotes from the Rush that you're not supposed to look at it, the Histaklus. You can't gaze at the Keshes. You look at it briefly. You just look at it and make the Bracha. And move on. And don't stare at it. That's what you're supposed to do. And that really is the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Also, listakel bo b'yoseh. You're not letting it be listakel bo b'yoseh, but you can look at the keshes. Haroya keshes mevorech. Roya keshes. Ari'iyah ma'at. Without a histaklus. That's the proper thing to do. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the keshes that he gave us as a sign that he won't destroy the world. One final halacha. Mishnah Berurah has a famous din that he quotes in the Chayei Adam. Mishnah Berurah there in Sivkot Nalim. Chayyadam says that one should not tell his friend that there's a rainbow. You know, if you see the rainbow, make the bracha, but don't tell anyone about it. That's the Chayyadam's chiddush. Don't tell anyone about it, because it's like motzi diba. Motzi diba. That means being, you know, telling bad news. Right? It's not a basura tova. It's motzi diba. What does that mean, it's motzi diba? Well, the rainbow hints to the fact that really the world should be destroyed. Right? The moment you see the rainbow, you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Hadin would dictate that the world should be destroyed at this moment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachaman, and he gave us an oath that the world is not going to be destroyed. So it's not such a nice thing. You know, you tell your friend, the rainbow appeared. It should all be destroyed, right? You know, the world should be destroyed. That's not a nice thing to say. So the Chai Adam says, you shouldn't tell someone about it. You shouldn't tell someone about it. We all know that in Dora Shel Reb Shem Ben Yochai, in the Dora of Chizkiah HaMelech, Rashi quotes, there was no keshes, because that was the Dora of Tzadikim. There was no need for the keshes. The world wouldn't have been destroyed anyway. So that's what the keshes is about. So it's inappropriate, says the Chai Adam, to tell someone that there is a keshes. Others quote from the Sefer Bris Kahuna. Rabbi David Yosef quotes from his Sefer, from his father, Chacham Avadya, who quoted from the Sefer Bris Kahuna. I guess he had that Sefer. I've never heard of this Sefer before, but it says it's not the only thing Rav Avad Yosef knew that other people didn't know. But he quotes from the Sefer Bris Kahuna that says, "Other Abba, you should tell someone that there's a keshes. If you make a bracha, if you don't tell him, he's not going to be able to make the bracha. He should be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem made this bris. That he's not going to destroy the world, and he gave us a rainbow as a sign for the bris. Fakert, you should tell people about it." Different approaches. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote such a sheet, he only quotes the Chai Adam. But I saw quoted that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Chashukei Chemed on Broches, he has a nice svarim, Chashukei Chemed on Shas, where he quotes some interesting halachas. He suggests maybe you could hint to someone. You could hint to someone that there's a keshes without actually telling him that there's a keshes. Like, you can go to someone and say, "What's the bracha that you make on a rainbow? Did you go to the shir on Sunday?" Right. So the person said, "What's he asking me about the bracha on a rainbow? There must be a rainbow. Hey, just one second." You know, so he'll figure it out. You're not telling him that there's a rainbow, but you're hinting to him, even if you know the bracha. You know the bracha. You looked at the Shulchan Aruch. But if you tell him, "What's that bracha on the rainbow?" So that'll hint to him that there is a rainbow out. So then he'll go and see the bracha and see the rainbow, and he'll make the bracha appropriately. So you're not going to violate Motzi Diba. You're not sharing bad news because you're not telling him there's a rainbow. But you're hinting to him in a way that he'll figure it out himself, and he'll be able to make a bracha to be Yotzei this din, to make a bracha on the Kishas.